Tummy enjoyed Layla on Sunday. Didn't she have a great word and minister to us after? She's ministering today to Sozo tonight, and so that is a blessing. And I don't want anybody to miss Sunday. I'll do my commercial for Sunday. I got such an awesome word that I am looking forward to sharing with you about the overemphasis of our feelings and how our feelings have really enslaved us and trapped us into a life of misery. A life of misery. And have gotten us so far from where God wants us. And I believe every sermon is a word from God, but I'm just excited to share this, and so I've told you many times already, but I want to tell you again what I'm going to be preaching Sunday, because I want you all here. I not only want you here Sunday, I want you to be become, how many know we can get complacent? We can get just comfortable with, let me ask you this, how many go into heaven? How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm going to heaven? How many raise your hand and go into heaven? Praise God. Okay, raise your hand. I want to see. I'm looking. Okay, so you're going to heaven. Okay, are your neighbors going to heaven? You mean? Is the person that cuts your hair going to heaven? You know, is the teller at the bank going to heaven? Is, you know what I mean? I mean, we could go on. Are family members that you know going to heaven? I told you this, but I'll tell it to you again because the internet is so. Be careful who you listen to on the internet. Be careful who you listen to on the internet. There's so much. Paul calls it doctrines of demons. Preachers that are proclaiming that God chooses who is saved and who is not. Well, if he's choosing who's getting saved and who's not, then by choosing who's getting saved and who's not, then he's choosing people to go to hell. And if you dig into this belief, that's exactly what they believe. And if I shared with you how many preachers believe this, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. And I won't listen to a preacher who believes that. Amen. Why? Because there are too many good preachers. Amen. Amen? Then a whole bunch of preachers who believe that, you know what, like that choosing, God chooses some people to be healed and God chooses some people not to be healed. Craziness. This is crazy. So when I tell you to listen to this person, you know what, I say this with, can I tell you who the main person you should listen to is? Me. Amen. That's such an arrogant, what a cocky pastor you are. Whoa. The only reason I say this is because I'm your spiritual father. That's the only reason I say that. And so, you know what? Do you think this is coincidence I have this up here? You think this is coincidence that we have gotten an app? All you have to do is get the app and you go right there and you can listen to the preaching. You know what? You can go back last week. You can hear Layla's preaching. You know what? You can hear You know, you can just go back and you can listen to all kinds of preaching. Take advantage of that. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? And so this technology that we've been given, you know what, we've got to be, you should be listening to the Word of God just on this continual basis. Amen. So, Jonathan Kahn preached a sermon. It's his prophetic sermon for 2019. His prophetic sermon for 2019. And it is such a good word, prophetic word for us. But one of the things that he just really gripped me, he says this, here's what I want you to, he says, we have to walk in a boldness that we haven't walked in before. He says that there's this political correctness that has caused us to think that we just need to be quiet, we need to, you know, we can't offend. And understand, you know why Jesus was hung on the cross? You know why? People, it's like, read your Bible. You know they hated Jesus? Hated him. Well, we'll look in the text tonight, and from this point on, they were seeking to kill Jesus, hated Jesus. And see, we have to be so secure. We have to be so satisfied with God's love that we don't care who hates us. Amen? And you have to understand, people, you know, you know where it touches into? It touches into where the Bible says, in the last day, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. You tap into that where it's like, man, the main thing I want is, 4,000 likes, you know what I mean? And that kind of mentality is the same. You say, that mentality comes into, even if you don't do that, all that internet stuff, that mentality comes into our hearts. And we think, it doesn't make it. Now, I don't want to offend people just to offend people, you know what I mean? But I've got to understand, when I start saying, if you just start saying, hey, there's a whole bunch of sexual behavior that is absolutely abhorred to God and is wrong. Oh my goodness, you know, you're going to unleash a whole bunch of junk towards you. Is that not true? No, but it doesn't change the fact there needs to be a standard. And can I tell you, one of the main things that we need to do as Christians is make sure, we're going to look at this today in the text, we have to make sure that we are walking in that kind of standard. Does that make sense? So, because we really need to show people that we believe what we preach. Does that make sense? And so that helps soften that blow, you know what I mean? But we're just, you have to just listen, settle it in your mind. You know what I mean? I mean, Tony has been a beacon of light to his family, and a bunch of his family think he's nuts.
Yeah, they do. That's right, I'm still nuts.
But see, here's the thing. You know what? Could it be in 4 years that one of his, you know what, if we're still around, could it be in 4 years that one of his family members, because he hasn't, he's stayed the course, could it be that one of his family members think, I tell you what, he's crazy, but I tell you what, he sure is happy. Amen. 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 I want to be crazy happy. I'm going to be crazy happy like he's crazy happy. Amen? Does that make sense? See, could that happen? Of course it could. But there's got to be a boldness in sharing the gospel with your friend. And I understand. Well, it's why I said, you know what? Make sure that you are not just sharing that gospel in a way where you're just telling them, but you're telling them and doing it. Everybody say telling them and doing it. Come on, everybody say this. Say telling them and doing it. Okay? Some people say, "Oh, I'm going to show them. I'm just going to show." Praise God, show them. But show them and speak up. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Praise the Lord. Say, God's word, my power. That's what we're talking about. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Remember, we left off last week in Romans chapter 3, and God asked, well, what if they don't believe? What if a lot of them don't believe? Does their unbelief cause the word of God to have no effect in your life? Everybody say effect in your life. See, what are we talking about? We're talking about, you know what? We need to understand that Christianity, that this, listen to me, that this which we know, watch this which we know starts to get in our minds and starts to change how we think. When we change how we think, we change how we speak and how we act, and you are in the mess that you're in predominantly because of crazy actions that you did. Am I the only one? Come on, raise your hand if you're not the if you're like me and you got into a bunch of mess, not because of, you don't want anyone except yourself. So you start, listen to me, you start to change that thinking. Once you change that thinking, it starts to change how you behave. When you change how you behave, good choices, good life. Amen. Yeah. Bible says it like this: don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. How many could testify that that is true? But if you sow to the Spirit, the Bible says you're going to have life and peace. So I want you to understand the Word of God is critical. The Word of God is the source that is going to empower your life to be effective. Paul said it like this: the weapons of our warfare, we spent, egads, 4 weeks studying this out. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, for the pulling down of these wrong thinking. You know, let me just give you an example. The Bible says that we shouldn't be drunk with wine, but we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is this not right? But you know what? Wherever we got this thought, well, you know what? You know, partying is fun and it's great and it's all, you know, all this wrong thinking. And next thing you know, you're drunk acting like a goofball. Amen. You know, you're making like crazy, you know, you're getting in a car driving. How many of that is not a smart thing to do? You know what? Rique Suave comes by and says, "Ooh, baby," and then you, next thing you know, you're sleeping with Rique Suave, and you should have just told him, "What are you doing? You know, I'm not attracted to you. You're a goofball." What happened? Well, one too many tequilas. Amen. I know this is mainly for the internet people. That's mainly this sermon's for. Listen, and I don't know what your experience is. I'm not here to belittle you in any way or even in your history, but I am here to declare to you that whatever that wrong thinking is, unforgiveness, selfishness, you know what? A lot of people are in their financial mess because they are so, poverty. You know, you can get out of poverty. You know, you can get out of debt. Well, I can't get out of debt. Here, let me get real spiritual with you. Shutteth your moutheth. Stop saying this trash. Amen? You know what you're doing? I'll prove it all scripturally. You're cursing your life. The Bible says with your mouth, you shouldn't bless God and then curse men. Oh, I'll never get out of debt. I'll never get a good job. I always, you know, all these wrong thinking. And this is all completely against the word of God. The Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. Amen. Amen. You know what? We're not supposed to be selfish. We're supposed to be, you know what? We're supposed to be givers. Amen. And we're supposed to have trust in God. You know, look at the lilies. See, this is all scriptural. But watch this. The verses that I quote change my mindset. When they change my mindset, it changed my actions. When I change my actions, I'm starting to sow good seed, and that seed will have a harvest. So, well, here, let me give you another illustration. You know, the Bible says, you know what? Trust in the Lord, right? Don't worry concerning your life, amen? What you should wear or what you should eat. Do you not know that God will take care of you? Look at the birds of the air. Do they toil or spin? No. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't arrayed like these flowers. If God, who cares about who, if these flowers that are here one day and next day thrown into the fire, you know what? If he takes care of these things, how much more will he take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. So watch how it starts to change. You start to trust in God. You become more free in your willingness to sow seed, sometimes even financial seed. And guess what? You know, the next thing you know, your boss calls you in. We had a testimony just recently, you know what? And she got a revelation, the word, on giving first fruits. Somebody say first fruit. Not waiting to the end of the month and figuring out what little leftovers you can give God. Look at your neighbor, say, God doesn't want your leftovers. And I was preaching this. She saw it in the word of God. It changed her mindset. You know what? Her mindset was changed. What your mind was changed. Her actions changed. And the next thing you know, she's pulled in by her boss. You know what? And her boss says, oh, you know, we gave you a raise, but we have reconsidered that raise. And now we're going to give you a raise of over 10%. Well, how many know that 10% raise just took care of all her tithing forever? Amen. Unless she gets another raise, and that's okay too, right? Is this making sense? See, God wants his word is what empowers you to change how you act. When you change how you act, then everything changes. But his word is your power. His word is your power. Okay. Just to review, how many receive that? I'm just asking, how many does that make sense to you? In your spirit, you're like, that makes sense. Okay. Turn to John chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 5. And this is a story you know, but But it is foundational to everything that comes after this. Okay, so let's start with John chapter 5. Let's start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Love that question. Side note, there is a degree of, there are some people who, they don't want to be well. Amen? There are some people who don't want to work. There are some people who don't want to forgive. Is that not right? Yeah. Like your neighbor say, "I hope he ain't talking to you." You didn't say it like I said it. That's all right. Okay. Verse 7, and the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool." That is an interesting phrase, is it not? It's just interesting because how many know there are some people who don't understand that Jesus is our healer. And this guy, one of them, Jesus is right in front of him. And he says, "I don't have a man." Listen, look at your neighbor and say, "You have a man. And his name is Jesus." Listen to me. If you're sick, you have a man, and his name is Jesus. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his will is that you be whole from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. Amen? Amen. Don't you think you don't have a man. You have a man, Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross and took those stripes on his back that by his stripes you were healed. Amen? You have a man. Amen. When the water was stirred up, "But while I'm coming, there another man steps down before me." Jesus said to him, here's what I want you to catch. Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take your bed and walk." What is he doing? He's taking the authority that he has on the earth, that he understands his authority, and he understands Proverbs says, "Death and life is the power of the tongue." "Well, hey, you know what? Do you have a tongue? Come on, this is pretty simple. I try to give you little softballs. You know, these are easy ones. Do you have a tongue? Do you have a tongue? Yes. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Use your tongue to bless people. Use your tongue to bless you. Amen. Stop being comfortable with your life, or stop being uncomfortable with your life, and start changing your circumstance. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said as he changed that circumstances and cursed that fig tree, he then looked at these people and said, "Have faith in God." What's he saying? Have faith in what I said. Listen, this is, and then what did he say? What's he saying to us? Hey, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, that anyone who says to this mountain to be removed, you guys can believe this. So what he's doing here is he's taking the power of the word and applying it to his life. He is changing the circumstances in this earth, is he not? Did Jesus not tell us to do that? Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Are you catching this? You can look at your neighbor and say, if you don't like it, change it. Well, I have a... No. It's his word, but his word has been given to us that we can change circumstances in our lives. Amen. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Can I tell you what? Listen to me. We get so gummed up with religious trash. This guy had just been healed of a sickness that he had been sick for 38 years. Healed by Jesus. Side note. Can we take a side note? Can we be compassionate to hurting people? Man, that's the heart of God. See, what these people should have been doing is saying, dude, you're healed. Let me take you to Tommy's. I just want to, you know what, get a burger with you. That is so awesome. Really, isn't that what they should have been doing? Instead, they're going to criticize him for carrying his bed. And what's he say? He's like, I don't know. This guy just told me to pick up my bed and walk. Listen, I don't say this to you as to be condescending to any of you, but I say this as a warning to us because we are church people. If you weren't church people, you wouldn't be in church tonight. I'm into something. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you haven't been in church in 8 years or 8 months or 8 days. I don't know what it is, but to some extent, hey, you came to church tonight. Amen. But for some of us, we've been to church, you know what, we were here last Wednesday and the Wednesday before and the Wednesday before and then Sunday and on and on and on. We're just church. And God says, God bless you. That's awesome. But we've got to be careful that we don't get that in our becoming righteous. How many of God wants you to behave better than you behaved last year? I'll give you a better chance to say amen on that because I need 100% effort. How many of God wants you to act sweeter than you acted last year? How many of God wants you to be more generous than you were a year ago? How many of God wants you to be more forgiving than you were before? How many of God wants you to believe more for the supernatural in your life than you've ever done before? God wants us to grow, amen. And so, but as we're growing, as we are, you know what, not smoking so much dope. Did some of you catch that? No, as we're not smoking dope at all anymore, amen? Can you say amen to this? You know what, we need to be careful that we don't all of a sudden get crazy condemning from the person who you know, it smells like they have been smoking dope a little bit. Oh, or whatever the thing is. Can we do this? Can we just remember where we came from? I like a very, very, very rich man who, extremely wealthy, and in his office, very, very nice office, he had cedar block and wood bookshelves. And it would just not even fit the decor of the office. And, very, very wealthy man. And they ask him, why do you have that? And he said, let me tell you why. That it will always be my bookcase, because I don't want to forget where I came from.
That's right.
Amen. You know, we have to remember that what God redeemed us from. And for whatever reason, these crazy religious people who should be the first to applaud this healing, they want to question his, you know, why? Because they had declared that carrying a bed was work. Do you know this? They had figured out that you could spit on Sunday, but you had to spit on the ground that was solid ground, because if you spit on loose dirt and it moved the dirt, that was an act of work. Come on. Really? But can I tell you what? We can get that way ourselves, and we need to just be conscious to recognize, no. Listen, I'm not talking about not having a standard of God. That's why I told you. You know what? You should be sweeter. You should be more generous. There needs to, Christ in our lives needs to be implemented. The Bible says that obedience is how we show God we love him. Not disobedience, but obedience. That's how you want to show God how much you love him. Be obedient to what he told you to do. That's what the Bible says. That's how you show obedience. So we need to become more righteous, more forgiving, more gracious, more of all these things. But in the midst of us changing, we don't need to be self-righteous. We need to recognize this person, they might not be where I'm at, but where were they 6 months ago? See, can we encourage people instead of just criticize people? But they're not doing that. There's like, no, let me tell you what, you know what? You're messed up because you're carrying a bed. Absolutely ridiculous. Verse 12. When they ask him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who has healed you did not know who it was. He didn't even know who he was. For Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. There were so many people. Jesus was like, oh, I'm out of here. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Okay, we got to spend some time on that. What is that about, Pastor? Thank you, I will tell you. Here's what that is. Just listen to me, okay? You might be sick, and your sickness isn't an indication of sin. It's just an indication that we live in a broken world. Does that make sense? Okay. But, somebody say but. There are people who will not let go of sin, and sin will have a manifestation of sickness. Yeah, I didn't get a bunch of amens to that. Because let me tell you why I didn't get a bunch of amens on that. Can I tell you what's going on? Because we want to disconnect that. We want to say, no, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. And what I'm saying, I don't know whether it's your fault or not. I'm telling you, Jesus did not go up to that guy because he had nothing better to do. He found that guy out and he told him, hey, dude, and I believe he knew there was some stuff going on. Here, can we go a little deeper in this? I say, can we go a little deeper in this? Pornography. Ooh, I didn't know you were gonna go like that, Pastor. Pornography will hurt your relationship with your wife. It's gonna hurt your relationship with your wife. I'm not even married. Let me say it again. Pornography will hurt your relationship with your wife. She ain't here yet, but she's somewhere. Amen? You know what? You know, isn't there some song about she's under the moon somewhere? I don't know what song that is, but it's doesn't go exactly like that, but something like that. But that pornography is going to hurt your relationship with your wife. And it's going to hurt your relationship. Maybe you're married now, and it's going to hurt. You can, well, yeah, but she don't know about it. Yeah, but we're in, nothing you do, everything you do is going to be exposed.
That's right. Come on, put the light on. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You ain't getting away with nothing.
That's right.
Amen? Right? So Jesus finds him and says, hey, dude, you know what? Sin no more. Can I tell you about when God tells us to stop sinning? It's not because he's mad at us. It's because he loves us. That's why he tells us, stop sinning, whatever the sin is. Because the wages of sin is death. Listen, don't cling to your sin, whatever the sin is. If it's selfishness, be giving. If it's unforgiveness, forgive. If it's just, you're just snotty to people, stop it. Whatever it is, stop it. Yeah, but people in my family are difficult. Well, hey, Jackson, maybe you're not the most easy person to get along with either. No. I'm easy. They are the one. Whoa. Well, how many know, you know, how many know who's judging the your test right there? And I'm not silly. I recognize there's people that are hard to get along with. I recognize that's true. But see, God doesn't say to us, well, you know what, difficult people, just, you know, be snotty to them because they're snotty to you. Bible doesn't tell us that. What I'm saying is these things are whatever the sin is. You know what? Are we Christians?
Yeah, there it is.
Then if we're Christians, we need to follow Christ. We need to understand, you know, could it be, I'm just asking, could it be that Jesus finds this guy and he says, hey, I want you to go sin no more. Look what it says, lest a worse thing come upon you. You know what? We need to get our theology from Jesus. There are consequences for us sinning. And when God has been so gracious to us, you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to return to him and say, God, you are awesome. Thank you. He hasn't freed us up to then go back into bondage. Amen? And the Bible tells us when we've been delivered from this stuff, you know what? And the whole house is all swept clean. You know what I mean? You better watch it, because we play around. You know what? We play around the edges, and we think that God doesn't know what's going on. No, He knows what's going on. He goes back to this guy and finds him and says, "Hey, Bucky, there are some consequences to your just habitual sin." And I love you enough to tell you, man, you are delivered. You're free. You're in a good place. So now that you're in a good place, you know what? And listen, and there's probably some people even here tonight. And I don't know what the sin is. And to be honest with you, I really don't care. And let me tell you why. Not because I don't care for you, but because I don't want to be judgmental. What difference does it make? I'm not here to tell you, I don't have a problem with that anymore. You better get it together. That wasn't Jesus' heart, and that's not my heart.
Amen. There it is, Pastor.
It's just not. But could it be that Jesus is not only telling this man to go, and look what he says, "Least a worse thing come upon you." He loves this guy. You know, you think he didn't have any things to do? You know what I mean? No, he's going to, later on, we won't have time to look at it tonight, but later on in the text, now they're about to kill Jesus. But he's going to go back, find this guy, speak prophetically to him, give him a warning. And Jesus, you know what the Bible says? He was tempted in all ways. He's just like you and I. How many want somebody, a lot of people to like you? We want people to like us. I don't want to tell them that. I don't want to say that to them. You know, I don't. No, we'll get to it next week. But the whole point of this is that Jesus is doing what the Father is telling him to do. Let me say that again. The whole point, where we're going with this, we'll get to it next week, is Jesus is doing what the Father is telling them to do, and he's doing what the Father is saying to him.
Amen.
And so because of that, this guy is delivered. If we will start to do what God tells us to do and say what God tells us to say, we will see the supernatural happen in our lives, just like he did. And some of those things that he's telling you to do might not be easy things. But can I tell you what's really hard? To be disobedient to what God is telling you to do. You really want to know what hard is? Hard is to be disobedient to what God is telling you to do. Hard is to continue to be in pornography. Hard is to continue to hold grudges and be selfish and be unloving and be uncaring and justified. No, let me tell you what. I have every reason to be, because this person did this to me. God says, No. That ain't going to fly in my kingdom. Ain't going to fly in my kingdom. Jesus is telling this guy, and here's what I'm saying to us. Could it be that Jesus is finding him and telling him and warning him? And could it be that Jesus is telling you tonight? I'm just asking. Could it be that Jesus is telling you, "Hey, I'm not asking you what to do." Remember my mom used to say that to me. "I ain't asking you what to do. I'm telling you what to do." Did anybody have a mom like that? I'm telling you what to do. It's so interesting, because in the kingdom of God, we have crafted a Jesus.
We have made a false impression of God that God just says, Joanne, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do tomorrow? What do you want to do with your life? Because whatever you want, you can do. Because I'm a God of love. Can I tell you what? That's a crazy false image that we've created of God. And that's not who he is. The God of love says, I know what's right and what's wrong. So I will tell you what to do. You can do whatever you want to do. I won't force you, but I will tell you what to do. And I'll tell you, here's the positive. And if you do it, I'm telling you what, you're going to have an incredible life. Amen. That's who God is. But I'm just asking, we'll close with this. Could it be that God goes to him and finds him out and warns him of the consequences of this habitual sin? Could it be that God would love us as much as Jesus loved him?
That's right.
To read your mail tonight. And with the pastor not knowing what any of the sin is, what any of the stuff is, the pastor just being prophetic to speak the message. But God knowing exactly what the sin is. And love you enough to say, hey, you better stop that. Because there's a grace period. You know the Bible says that God is long-suffering? You know what the difference between long-suffering and forever suffering is? Long-suffering means that at some point in time, he says, enough is enough. Here, you want me to give you you want me to prove it to you in the Word of God? I'll just prove it to you. The Israelites who came out of Egypt and who would not stop complaining. God's will was that they walk into the promised land. But their will was that they would accuse God of some horrendous things and continue to complain and murmur. And at some point in time, God says, okay, enough is enough. That's what he's saying to this guy. He's saying, hey, enough is enough. And at some point in time, if you don't stop, see, we don't preach this anymore. But this is the New Testament. This is the New Testament. We don't preach this anymore. Guys, throw that up there. This is the New Testament. And God says, you know what? Hey, listen, if you don't correct this, if you don't correct this sin, and look what see you have been waiting. Well, sin no more. You know what's that an indication? That there was a specific sin that he continued to do. Lest a worse thing come upon you. So could it be that God is just saying, And watch this, I know I'm closing a lot tonight, but could it be, I'm just saying, but could it be that God loves us enough to tell us there is a cliff and you are getting closer and closer to that cliff? I think so. I just think so. So, and I normally don't do this on Wednesday, but I, you know what, felt impressed to call you all up to the first three rows. But with every head bowed and every eyes closed, you say, Pastor, but if I raise my hand, then I'm saying that there's some sin in my life. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. But all I'm saying is, you know what, it's interesting because we come to church, we think everybody notices, you know what, that we have a stain on our shirt. And you know the truth is, people don't even notice. We get so absorbed with well, what? Listen, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, it gives you an opportunity to just raise your hand. All I want to do is just pray with you. But it's so important, especially when we hear a message like this, that we not just leave and not act like God hasn't really been confronting to us. Does that make sense? Yeah. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, and with your pastor who is making no judgment, for all I know, all you've done was taken I don't know. For all I know, all you've done is something that is small. But if God's saying knock it off, I mean, no, it's not small to him. Listen to me. There is no judgment. The only thing that I have to say is, if God is speaking to you, get your hand up and allow me to pray with you. All over the room. All over the room. You don't have to keep your hand up long. You can put it down. Who else? Who else is God speaking to about sin in your life that you need to? Yeah, you could put your hand down. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Can I tell you what? God is going to do a super. You can put your hands down. God is going to do a supernatural. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else who wants to put their hand up and say, yep, God is speaking to me. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I tell you what? Yes, thank you. You can put your hands down. As I pray, if there's somebody else, you know, it's not too late. But don't leave this place. Don't leave this place thinking that, you know what? Oh, it's okay. I'll just wait Pastor out. You ain't waiting me out. This is about you and God. Anyone else? Father, thank you that whatever those issues are, we know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But Father, we just thank you that you have the integrity to speak to us, to read our mail. And Father, we thank you that as people have raised their hands, they will feel a total freedom in whatever area they raise their hands about. Complete, total freedom. Because what you're doing by raising your hands, you're asking for God's help. And here's what he says. He gives more grace to the humble. His supernatural ability to do what you can't do alone. There's something so healthy about confessing. It's an art that we really don't do anymore. But we do it in this church. Because we don't want God just to speak to us and us not respond. Father, we thank you for helping us. Father, we thank you for every person that's here, that they're changed by the power of the Word of God. May this word tonight that was spoken just be not just a good another Wednesday. May it really sear into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.